Journalism, powered by SID Media.
Oh, yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. Elder Luaho, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, my elder. Are you well?
Yes, I'm keeping well, and God is good.
Fantastic. Great to hear that, man. We've had a fantastic week together with you here on AWR. And, of course, we are coming to one last installment of our discussion. I must say that I'm feeling sad that is coming to an end, but I do hope that many have learned quite a bit from our conversation, especially the advice and discussions that you have given us here on AWR. And so as we wrap up our talk, my elder, on the mark of the beast, today we're focusing on the history of Sunday laws, in the 4th and the 19th century, as well as the modern Sunday law movement. I think you did promise that you're going to be getting into that today. So before we actually get into that, please do recap on what we have learned over the course of this week.
Thank you so much. We've been studying the national, the Mark of the Beast, what it is, and we basically learned that the Mark of the Beast is associated with worship. And also the Mark of the Beast is associated with a specific type of number. There's also there's a counterfeit system that has been set up to counterfeit God's plan. And so the Mark of the Beast is associated with all of those things. And yesterday we learned that the Mark of the Beast is actually Sunday observance. After it's been enacted as a law by earthly governments. And I promise that today we're going to be looking at what happened in the history and what is happening right now.
Fantastic. Well, let's go for it.
In the 4th century, there was a Sunday law movement. The first Sunday law was enacted the year AD 321 by Emperor Constantine. And historically, he was enacting that law to try and unite the Roman Empire. You know, it was divided between pagans who were worshipping their idols on Sunday, and then you also had Christians who had started worshipping on Sunday and also on Saturday Sabbath. So in order to bring harmony, he basically enacted that AD 321 Sunday law. And that Sunday law basically said nothing about going to church on Sunday. It basically said you should rest on Sunday. We call it the Sunday rest law. And then AD 386, we find another development of this. In 386, there was more additions that were added to this Sunday rest law. Now it also had added issues of, you know, civil governments of every transactions could strictly be forbidden. And then we come down to the year 425, where you were forced to go to church on Sunday under the penalty of death. So this history is documented by Neander's Church History. You can find it in that history. Mm-hmm. And also the National Sunday Law by Dr. L.L. Lewis. It's Nature, History, and Philosophy. So as you notice, the Sunday law does not just come as one act of go to church on Sunday. Historically, it has always started with, well, let's rest on Sunday. Let's take it easy, have time for family. And then in addition to that, then governments play a role in it. And finally, people are forced to worship on Sunday. This Sunday law that began way back in AD 321 became the imperial law, the law of governments in Europe during the Dark Ages, when ecclesiastical Rome was ruling the world, or the papacy was ruling Western Europe. Everywhere you went, people were forced to go to church on Sundays. Even the Puritans who left Europe to go to America, when they got there, they established the states, the states that also had Sunday laws, the state of Virginia, the state of Massachusetts, Boston. Boston, Massachusetts, and many of these had their own Sunday laws that were now called blue laws later on. It was not until the federal government was established in, the Declaration of Independence, 1776, there was now a Bill of Rights that was introduced later in 1791, which gave liberty of conscience to people, where they could worship God according to the dictates of their conscience. But these Sunday state laws were still there. And in 1961, there was a major case in the United States Supreme Court that made the Sunday Blue Laws in the United States constitutional. So basically, what I'm saying is that Sunday laws were enacted in history, and it's a plan, even in our time, to still repeat that history and make a theocracy on this earth by enacting Sunday laws. And if you go back now to the 19th century, you'll find that there was also another Sunday movement then, which was similar in character and nature to the 4th century Sunday movement. They were pushing for Sunday to be legislated by the United States government. It was Senator Blair who had presented a Sunday law bill on May 21, 1888. You can find this in the Congressional Section 2983, and it was presented before the Committee on Education and Labor. And just to give you a sample of how this law read, I'm just going to quote it right now.
Okay.
It says, be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America and Congress assembled, that no person or corporation or agent, servant, or employee of any person, corporation, or in service of the United States in time of peace, except in necessary enforcement of this law, shall perform or authorize to be performed any secular work, labor, or business to the disturbance of others. So the law continues on. But the point is made, this was a Sunday rest law. It was basically restricting trade. It was restricting any kind of work to be done on Sunday. And it is similar to the law that was enacted by Constantine in AD 321, which was a Sunday rest law. Fortunately, this Blair bill was never brought to vote. It died in the committee in 1888. There were subsequent attempts at enacting Sunday laws in the United States without success of the federal government. But that movement has not died. We have different types of organizations that are currently promoting this idea. You have the a big evangelical movement that is pushing for Sunday laws. There's a major, major group called the Seven Mountains Dominionists who are pushing for Sunday laws in the United States. And this group have come up with a project. It's called Project 2025.
Okay.
In this Project 2025, their plan is we want to elect political candidates that will make sure that we return the nation back to God. They are arguing that with homosexuality legislation in the United States and many other changes that have come, our nation is being driven back away from God. So the argument is we need to bring it back to God by enacting and giving the government back into the hands of Christ. So there's also another movement in Europe. It's called the European Sunday Alliance Movement. This one is basically advocating for companies to basically force their employees not to work on Sundays. And they are claiming to be fighting for the rights of the laborers. And they are joining with labor unions. There's Sunday Alliance movements in Europe, in different parts of Europe. And they are trying to convince European members of the European Parliament to basically enact Sunday laws that will be Sunday rest laws. And with the development of the climate change, there's a call now for people are arguing during the COVID-19, you know, planet Earth at rest. You know, the birds could come and be flying in the beaches. So why don't we choose one day a week where there's a complete lockdown? No one goes to the stores. Everybody's at home so that our environment is protected. That is the part of the Paris Agreement, climate change agreement. And it's not only these advocates. We have also Pope Francis advocating this in his Laudato Si and Laudato Deum, these two encyclicals that are both promoting that our environment is overworked. We are also overworking. We are slaves to work. We need to take one day off and rest. And that day, in principle, must be Sunday. So there's a movement currently for Sunday to be made a day of rest, similar to what we find in 1831, similar to what we found in 1888. And the Bible prophecy predicts that Sunday laws will come. When will they come exactly? Only God knows, but there are significant movements happening right now. That was quite a mouthful of history. I hope you followed through. Yes.
Yeah, well, very, very, very interesting history, by the way, Pastor, my elder, rather. Now, let's get into the final talk about this, but you've given us the history, and we now need to check on this modern Sunday law movement.
Yes, so the modern Sunday law movement is a result of different organizations. I mean, you have the environmentalists that are pushing. These are the New Age people. They're saying, you know what? We need to have a green Sabbath. We need to have one day a week in which there will be complete shutdown of these companies that are producing carbon emissions and things of that nature. So we need to have a complete shutdown, and that shutdown should be on Sunday. And then we have Christian groups that are advocating for that. In the United States, you have the different types of evangelicals that are pushing for that. And then you have also secular companies in Europe that are saying, we need to give our workers one day off of work, and that day must be Sunday. So it's being approached from different aspects. You know, the scientific world, you also have the political world, excuse me, the business world, you also have the religious world, all of them advocating for Sunday to be made a day of rest. So the world is going that route. And not only that, but we have Sunday blue laws. Here in South Africa, we have Sunday blue laws in certain provinces. And we also have some of these blue laws that are being enforced in different parts of Europe. Austria is an example of that. Poland, Germany. In certain states in Germany, you have that. Italy, Croatia, some of these European countries I've been to on Sundays, you're not allowed to mow your lawn, you're not allowed to do your laundry, and there's no shopping done on Sunday. So the world is going that way back to what happened in history.
Now, how should those who are ardent followers of Christ prepare for this, and of course just wrap up the conversation for us for the week?
We need to be getting ourselves ready. The Bible has told us the mark of the beast is coming, and we are seeing movements being made towards that direction. And the preparation is what we find in Revelation 14. Revelation 14 presents three angels' messages. The first angel is calling us to fear God. Do not fear men. Fear God and keep his commandments, follow him, worship him, and make sure that you are in harmony with God. Pray, take your Bible, read it, study it, so that the Lord will count you worthy to escape these things that are coming upon the earth. Sunday laws will surely come because Bible prophecy has never failed. But what is more important is preparation, 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 which is to give our hearts to the Lord while there's still time and seek him while he can still be found. Thank you.
Wow. Man, my elder, thank you so, so much. I do want to appreciate the time that you have taken by making sure that we understand these things. They're given in prophecy, but they're not easy to understand. And what you did this week was to open that avenue so that we can actually understand the scripture. Now, somebody may be asking us listening, for further reading, where do I go?
There's a book I recommend that is that history that I was talking about, and it also predicts what's coming, and it's Great Controversy by an amazing woman who died in 1915. Her name is Ellen White. It's quite an interesting book. You can read and you'll learn a lot about that.
Fantastic. Well, Elder Luaho Sitswalo, thank you so much for joining us this week. I do want to appreciate all of what you've done for us, and I do want to praise God for what you have actually done this afternoon. In fact, the whole week, you have no idea how grateful we are. Thank you so much. Be blessed and together with your family. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to share, and we hope that the listeners were blessed, and thank you for hosting. It was excellent.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.